I grew up in a very God-fearing home with a father who talked to us all the time about how God converts his people. Read to us every Sunday night for 45 minutes, Pilgrim's Progress, together with singing for a prolonged family worship, which often turned into 2 hours by all of our questions of us five children sitting at his feet. And a very God-fearing mother who didn't speak as freely, but was always on her knees. We see her on her knees every single day. And when I was 9 years old, I came under very deep conviction of sin, because the Lord answered one of my prayers very powerfully. And I went to my father's bookcase as soon as that prayer was answered. I thought, I've got to pray about it. And I scanned all the books. And I found this book, The Life and Death of Mr. Badman. I thought, well, I'm a bad boy, so that's the book for me, by John Bunyan. I was at a very adult level, but I struggled through it at 9 years old. And then I began to read all of my dad's Puritan books, those old battered through paperback books. In his bookcase for about 6 months. I didn't even play with my brothers outside. I just had to find God. And then it all faded away. It was all temporary condition. But when I was 14, it came back in an unusual way. I was at school one day, and I grew up in a public school, and the teacher was an atheist. And he wrote on the board, I think it actually was illegal at that time, there is no God, and he signed his name, J. Taylor, beneath him. And he said, give me 3 minutes to prove to you that there is no God, and he said, you can have the rest of the hour to try to prove me wrong. Now, at that time in my life, so I hadn't been liberated by the gospel, I was painfully shy. I mean, painfully shy. I never spoke in class, never raised my hand. And he gave the traditional scenario about God can't be good and allow 6 million Jews to be exterminated and so on. And I just stood up. And theologically, I'm not sure till today how accurate this was, but I just defended God and said, you know, indeed, cried out, let his blood be upon us and our children, and God is always good. And he was so astonished to see me stand up. He was so astonished to hear me speak that he said, well, we'll deal with this after class. And come up to me. Which I did. And I defended God again. But on the way home, walking home, I thought, I'm defending God in the classroom? And I don't even know who he is for myself. I'm lost. And I began to cry out to God. And it was on a subsequent trip that my parents allowed me to take, I was 14 years old with my brother 17, another friend 20. For 4 weeks out west, we were coming back to Yellowstone National Park, and we had to be at a church. It would be one of our denominational churches, which was hundreds of miles away. And Saturday morning, we couldn't find the keys anywhere. And I had been so disappointed because I wanted to be converted on that trip. And I longed to feel the reality of God when we saw the Rocky Mountains, but nothing special happened. And as my brother and my friend went into the woods to look for a stick to try to open the trunk to find the keys, we just couldn't find them anywhere. We lifted up the sleeping mattresses, weren't there. And so what happened? What happened was silence. Now, what happened was I went back into the tent, and I just fell on my face. I was bawling like a baby. And I just said, oh, Lord, thou the living God, show me now. Just show me now. And I got up from my knees, and though we had lifted that sleeping bag up several times, there was something hard underneath my knees, and there were the keys. Now, it's a small detail. But what happened to me at that moment was unforgettable. I became a lost sinner before a holy God. I was on my way to hell. This time it was the real thing. I went home, I told all my friends, I cannot be your friend until I find God. I came home from school every day, hold myself up, read the Bible from beginning to end, read good books, Puritan titles, was on my knees, weeping, crying out for God. And I just thought I was a reprobate. I thought I was such God-fearing parents, I destroyed myself. And it took 18 months under deep conviction of sin. And finally, we had a new minister named Reverend Elsal who came to town, and he said to my grandfather in family gathering, "For you too, there's a way of escape in Christ Jesus, Mr. Van Stringen." And those words just penetrated my soul. And for the first time in my life, without even knowing the terms active and passive obedience, I understood that Jesus Christ died for me and obeyed the law for me and did everything for me that I needed to have done as an unworthy, hell-worthy sinner. And the bonds were loose. I felt just like Bunyan, the bird rolling off my back. I went to bed that night. My hands were just up in the air, crying, weeping, praising God. Till 3 a.m, I got my dad out of bed and said, "I've been saved. And saved. My sins are forgiven." And my dad didn't know if it was true yet. He said, "You know, it's got to winter a while." Okay, yeah, no problem. But it was the realest thing that ever happened in my life. And then it was a year later when I was working for my dad, pulling weeds out of the lawn for a man. He had built this house, and the man didn't want to use weed killer. For 3 weeks, I just pulled one weed after another. Wasn't thinking about anything special. And God just spoke to me. I don't know how to explain it, but go forth and preach the gospel to all nations. And I was this shy kid whose mouth was just being opened to tell others about the Lord. The next youngest minister was somewhere around 50 years of age, and I was 16. And I was just overwhelmed. I was shaking. And I went to the minister and I said, "Well, what is this? I can't preach the gospel. I'm just a kid." And he goes, "Well, maybe the beginning of a call. And God will confirm it in other ways." And that's what happened. But from that day on, I never doubted for a moment that call was real. Just how it would be fulfilled, that I didn't know. So that's just a few words about my initials.